15, and we want to look at that chapter. And let me get myself situated here, and we will get started. And I trust that you remember some of the things that we have talked about from Acts 15. I titled this chapter, A Pivotal Moment in the History of the Gospel and Missions, because Satan was fighting in a, really a, what's the word, a great way against the gospel by trying to get them sidetracked, those who were presenting the gospel and preaching the gospel, getting them sidetracked into teaching a false gospel. The idea that, yes, Jesus died, and yes, you need to believe on him, but in order to be saved, you still have to obey the law. That is a false gospel. And that's what was attempted to be brought into the church in Acts 15. And by the way, it's a constant battle that we all have to stay true to what the Word of God says and stick with what God has said is his way of salvation. And so, of course, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension with those who were bringing about that false doctrine. So they went to Jerusalem, to the apostles that were there, to try to get an answer from the apostles as to what is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that he left to his disciples. And of course, they had a time where they looked at that and where they examined it. And the apostles came down on the side of what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught, which is salvation is by grace through faith alone. Works is not a part of it. And yet they gave some recommendations, or that's not probably the right word, some essential things that the Gentiles needed to follow so that they could stay pure from things that would corrupt them. And those things, of course, were to abstain from fornication, to abstain from things strangled and from eating blood, and to stay away from idols or meat that was offered to idols. And so they did that. Well, they sent then a letter with Paul and Barnabas back to the Gentile churches and sent with Paul and Barnabas two men by the name of Judas and Silas. And we learned a little bit about them the last time. We learned that they were prophets and that they exhorted and confirmed the disciples. And then Silas decided to stay and continue to work with the people in Antioch when Judas went back to Jerusalem. That's kind of where we left off. And we want to finish up with the Lord's help, chapter 15 tonight. We'll see how quickly I can talk, and maybe we'll get into 16, all right? And so let's start with chapter 15. Let's look at verse 32. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. We've already prayed, and then we'll get right into it, okay? Verse 32, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So we see there, as we had talked about a little bit last week, that Paul and Barnabas continued teaching and preaching, but then they decided that it was time to go and visit the churches again. And they had that determination, and they had worked well together, but they could not agree how to get the work done. And last week, we talked about the fact that are the best of God's workers always going to get along? And the answer is no, they don't always get along. And we can let it discourage us or cause us to quit, or we can move on. God shared with us in his word that this is the way it would be. Let's just continue to serve the Lord as they did. We should be focused on the Savior. And think about it this way. Was this a discouragement probably to Paul and Barnabas? I would think so. Was it probably a discouragement to the church at Antioch? I could imagine. And yet, was God discouraged by it? Well, definitely not. In fact, God got two missionary teams when before he had one.
You see, God can take the negative circumstances and turn them into good. Do you really believe that? I think most of us know it in our head, but we have a hard time believing it in our heart, because when something negative happens to us, we have a hard time saying, hey, praise the Lord for this. God's going to do something great through this. I'm not usually that way. I have to constantly remind myself of God's word, what it says, that God works all things together for good. Well, he certainly did here. There are two missionary teams. Now, let's talk about Paul and Barnabas a little bit, because I do feel like the Lord wants us to concentrate on them a little bit and why this dissension happened and what we can learn from it. First of all, there was a sharp contention. That's what the Word of God says. In other words, these were not two guys that just, you know, looked at each other and always spoke in soft words. There was actually a sharp contention among them. I don't know how the conversation went, but I can imagine Paul saying, hey, let's go to visit the churches again. And Barnabas says, great idea. John Mark wants to come. And Paul says, uh-uh. No way. He quit the last time, and I'm not taking him with him this time. And Barnabas saying, but he's different now, and God's changed him, and he's matured, and we should take him. And Paul saying, no, I'm definitely not going with him. He's a quitter. You know, whatever it was, there was a sharp contention between them. Why did that happen? Well, let's remember who they are. Let's take just a moment and think about Paul. If you could define, now this is my words, not necessarily God's, okay? But if you could define Paul the Apostle and give him kind of a personality definition, what would you give to him? Here's what I wrote down in my notes. In quotes, I wrote down that Paul was, quote unquote, straight as an arrow. He was a by-the-book kind of guy. Now, by the way, that is a good thing. I know those of us who aren't that way. I'm a last child, and we last children, the youngest, the babies of the family, we're not that way, all right? We're not by the book, and we look at those who are as they're evil, they're the enemy, okay? But it's not true. They really aren't the enemy. That is a good thing. And Paul the Apostle was a by-the-book kind of guy. Let's just look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Follow with me. Keep your place in Acts 15, but look at Acts 26. Acts 26, look at verse number 5. Here's just a couple of examples from God's Word of why we might call him a by-the-book kind of guy or straight as an arrow. You put it in your own words, all right? Acts 26, verse number 5. This is Paul giving his defense before Agrippa, and here's what he says about himself. He says, which knew me from the beginning, verse 5, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect, that's not good English, but it worked, all right? The most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. That was Paul the Apostle. What was his religion like before he got saved? Well, he was a Jew, and a Jew of the most strict kind. Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3. Here's some other descriptions that Paul gives of himself. Philippians chapter number 3 and verses 4 through 6. And he's describing in Philippians 3 of how he could have something to be proud of, but he's not going to pride himself in his accomplishments. But here's some of his accomplishments. Philippians 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Remember, that's the straightest sect. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, what's that last word? Blameless. Paul was a rule follower. We can say that with authority from God's word. He says of himself here, when he's giving an account of how he lived his life before his salvation, he said that in the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. Nobody could point to him and say, you didn't follow the Mosaic law the way that any human being should. Now, you and I know he was a sinner like we are. But as far as man's judgment, he was blameless. That's the kind of person he is. So it makes sense that when it comes time to go on the missionary journey, somebody who failed in the past, he's like, are you kidding me? We're not taking him. He's a failure. You know, cast him aside and let's move on. Now, what was Barnabas like? If you could describe Barnabas, well, first of all, you'd have to use the word or the term that his name actually means. Remember, his name was not actually Barnabas. That's not the name that his mother and father gave him. I believe it was Joseph, if I'm not mistaken, right? But Barnabas was a name given to him by the other Christians because they saw in him that he was the son of consolation. He was somebody who cared for the hurting. Could we say probably almost a mirror image of what Paul was? Now, not that Paul wasn't caring, but that's not Paul's first bent of personality, but it was Barnabas. By the way, that's why they made such a great team. Okay, so he was the son of consolation. If I could describe him, I would say he was someone who cared for the underdog. He was somebody who saw someone who was hurting and wanted to help that hurting person. And to those of you who are the Pauls of this world, that's a good thing. We need people who will care for the underdog. If all of us were Pauls, then nobody would ever have any opportunity to do anything because we all fail from time to time and we need someone to give us a second chance. But look with me, if you would, keeping your place again in Acts 15, look over at Acts 4. Here's just a couple of examples of Barnabas. I guess 4 verse 35 just gives us his name. So let's skip that one. Let's look at 11:24, Acts 11:24. 4:35 is where we learn of his name being Barnabas. But 11:24, notice what the wording is that God's word uses to describe Barnabas. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And that's from verse 23, where he had come and he had seen the grace of God there, and he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then it describes him as a good man. This is just kind of his nature. He's somebody who comes along and cares for people. So it makes sense that their personalities would be that, or that if their personalities are that way, that they would respond in that way. Listen, you and I in the Christian realm are more affected by our personalities than we probably like to admit. Is that always a bad thing? No, it's not always a bad thing. You realize that God gave you the personality you have? God put you in the life situations that you have gone through for a reason. Much of the way you think, you don't probably want to admit it, but much of the way you think is based on your home life when you were a child. How your parents treated you, how your siblings treated you. I know your siblings were horrible, mine were too. All jokes aside though, listen, we are affected by that. Whether or not our parents got along, whether or not the home was a secure place, what our teenage years were like, all of that kind of stuff, what kind of school we went to, it has affected us. Was all that an accident? No, God did that to you on purpose because he wanted you to have the personality that you have. Now, here's the thing. Every personality has a strength. There's something about you that is a strength. If you are the kind of person who's meek and quiet, you don't like to give your opinion, you just like to sit and let others lead, listen, that's a strength. That's a blessing. If you're the kind of person who's the opposite of that and very opinionated and like to give your two cents in something and feel like you kind of know the direction that things ought to go, that also is a blessing. And that is a good thing. But here's the next part of that. Every personality also is a weakness. Your personality also has a weakness. Paul and Barnabas are an example. They had a weakness. Paul was quick to throw John Mark to the side. That was a weakness. Barnabas, and we'll see this a little bit later, my opinion now, was probably a little too nice. So listen, it's something that we need to understand that there is a weakness. So you say, okay, so what is the answer? Here's the answer. Your personality in the hands of the Holy Spirit is a blessing. That's the key. You and I have to walk in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows how to take your personality and make it exactly right. It needs to be tempered by the Holy Spirit. Too much of you, really anything of you, is too much. But the Holy Spirit can take the personality that you have, and with His leading, with His guidance, He can use the good of it and negate the negative of it. And the Holy Spirit can do that. That is the key. Do we have running downstairs? Is one of the ushers, can you just make sure if there's kids running around downstairs that they're not? That'd be great. Thank you. All right, so let's see here. Let's then look at this. Let's just remember their friendship real quick. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter number 9 and look at verse 26. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. This is Saul. Now he's later to become Paul, but he's still called Saul of Tarsus here and in Acts 9, 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. What I want you to see there is Paul and Barnabas, we see them now in Acts 15 having a sharp contention and going their separate ways. But when they began, listen, they were close. Paul wanted to join himself with the disciples of Jerusalem. They didn't want that. Barnabas came along and said, wait a minute, I'll vouch for him. I want to just ask you, what do you think Paul thought of Barnabas in that moment? I guarantee you, they became close. And Paul looked at Barnabas and said, there's a friend. There is a real friend that I am blessed to have as my friend. Look with me, if you would, at chapter 11 and verse 19. Chapter 11 and verse 19. Chapter 11, verse 19, and now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Let's see here. Let's look down at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. We read verse 24 already, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When Barnabas is called to minister and go to Antioch, he recognizes, listen, Paul is an asset here. I could really use his help. The church at Antioch could really use him. And he goes and finds Saul and brings him, and they work together for a year. Do you think maybe they became close friends and comrades? Listen, there is no way to grow closer to people than to serve with them. If you want to feel a part of the church, get involved. Get involved in ministry. Find something to do where other people are involved and join in the yoke with them, and all of a sudden you'll feel part of the team. It's the way it works. We are all built that way. Well, that's the way they were, and you know that they became fast friends, tight, by serving together. And then, of course, chapter 13 in verse number 1 and 2. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They were called to the ministry at the same time. And the Holy Ghost specifically said to the church, those two men. Again, these men are friends. They were put together by the Holy Ghost, and they are a team, and they worked well together. They went through that first missionary journey together. Paul was stoned, and they were together at that time. Listen, it was a big deal. They had a great ministry together, and yet they had later on a falling out. By the way, that happens sometimes. But you and I just need to be prepared for those things. So then that brings us to the question, who was right, Paul or Barnabas? And you know, the Bible does not tell us. So they have a separation. I want to point out to you something here. Sometimes separating is not bad. It's not always a failure to separate and go your separate ways. Again, we're not talking marriage here. We're talking about ministering and service. And you know, sometimes in service, you just kind of need to go your separate ways and love one another from afar. That's not a bad thing. So Barnabas, what does he do? He goes to Cyprus. What do we know about Cyprus and Barnabas? Well, that's where he was from. Do you remember that? That was the first place they went on their first missionary journey. They left from Antioch over to the island of Cyprus, and they ministered there. That's where Barnabas is from. So he goes back to Cyprus, and he takes John Mark with him. Here's just a question. I don't know the answer to it. Is it possible that Barnabas went there first because that was comfortable? Again, I don't know, just a question. But here's something that's interesting. Barnabas is never heard from again. That is the end of anything that God has to say about what his ministry became. We know nothing. That's interesting, isn't it? That doesn't mean that he was a failure. But as well, I would also say that is just interesting that God is silent then about it. Does that mean that he was wrong? I don't think so, but I would just say it's important for us to recognize that sometimes if we are like Barnabas and we're the nice guy, we need the straight arrow to keep us on the right track. That's important for us to recognize. I would encourage you to recognize your strengths and be humble enough to recognize your weaknesses. You know, some of us need somebody to keep our feet held to the fire. And I would say, by the way, that I'm one of those people. I need strong people in my life to help me and keep me on track and to make sure I'm doing the best that I can and all of that, because I can tend to be a little bit like Barnabas and the nice guy. I know you don't believe that. Some of you think I'm extremely mean. My kids are like, Dad, you're so mean. I'm like, you have no idea what mean is. You should have lived in my dad's house. The other day, this was funny. I know you have a hard time believing it, but I did something very dumb. I know it's a shock. You're all the, really? I won't tell you what I did, but I made a very large mess in my garage with used motor oil. I'll just put it to you that way. And it was not fun. And Caleb was there, and he and I were cleaning up, and he said, well, Dad, you got to look at the bright side. At least you're not a teenager in your dad's house and did that. I said, that's true. I can hear my dad now. I can hear him now. Yes. But you know what? The truth of the matter is we need somebody sometimes to hold our feet to the fire. Some of you need that. And it can be your tendency, as it is sometimes mine, to want to walk away from those things and say, well, I don't want somebody who's always holding my feet to the fire, and you're doing yourself a disservice. And by the way, those of you who are straight arrows, you need Barnabas. Because if not, you'll run all over people and destroy lives along the way. And John Mark will never be what he needs to be if you're the one who's always in charge. Barnabas needs to be there to come along and say, John Mark, come on, you come with me and let's go. We need one another, don't we? That's why God puts all these different types in the church. That's why Paul and Barnabas work so well together. Here's some interesting thing about Cyprus, though. Well, let's talk about Paul first. Paul went northward and went to new areas, right? And Barnabas went to Cyprus. So let me give you an honest assessment and then we'll be done with this. Barnabas would not be successful without Paul. We touched on that just a little bit. This is my opinion now, okay? Barnabas would not be successful without Paul. He was too nice, not willing to cut off those who would weigh him down, and he wouldn't push. That's my assessment of him. So he needed Paul. And that's why whenever you see them together, Paul is the spokesman. Paul is the one who's going. And Barnabas is there. He's the son of consolation. He's the helper. And once Paul is gone and Barnabas is in charge, he fades off the scene. And I would say, again, this is my opinion, take it for what it's worth, it's because Barnabas couldn't be successful without Paul. He needed that person to push him. I also want to say Paul would not be as successful without Barnabas or somebody like him. Paul was too hard, not willing to go give those who fail a second chance, and he was probably too pushy. And yet, God used them both. You think God used Paul? When Paul and Barnabas were separated, did God use Paul anymore, or was God kind of done with him? Well, he had a lot more work to do, didn't he? And he did a lot more things. In fact, we might say he did greater things after Barnabas. But he did have Silas there with him. Okay? So that's obvious that God used Paul. But can I give you some information about Barnabas? God used Barnabas. Now, we don't know what happened to him after they separated, but we must figure that Barnabas must have helped John Mark to mature, because later on, Paul requests and commends John Mark. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy 4, let's look at verse 11. This is at the end of Paul's life. And he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, that's that same John Mark that we're talking about, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he requested him and commended him, that there was something that John Mark had that he needed. And then I would point out to you this as well, Barnabas must have helped John Mark because Paul requested him, and also because John Mark was used by God to write the gospel of Mark. You think that John Mark was a success? Yeah. You think maybe that had something to do with Barnabas? I guarantee it did. God used him. So here's something that I read from a commentator that I hadn't thought of until I read it. If we're not mistaken, Paul was used by God to write 14 books of the Bible. That would include Hebrews. Okay, so we know 13. I think he wrote Hebrews too. So 14. John Mark wrote one. Together, that's 15 books of the Bible that were written by people who were helped by Barnabas. That Barnabas was instrumental in their life. And over more than half of our New Testament was written by men that Barnabas helped. You think maybe that he had an effective ministry? Now again, he didn't get the glamour that Paul got. He wasn't out there in front, but he had a ministry that was effective for the Lord. And I want to encourage you, again, whatever personality you have, whatever it is that God has given you as a gift, that is a good thing. It is not all a positive. It's a positive and a negative. And the only way to undo the negative is you've got to walk in the Holy Spirit. You got to humble yourself and walk in the Holy Spirit. And you are either probably a Paul or a Barnabas, or you're somewhere in the middle, and the Holy Spirit wants to take what you have and use it for the Lord, but you've got to walk in Him, and you've got to get involved and walk in the Holy Spirit. By the way, you also have to be humble and recognize that when somebody comes along and says, hey, what you're doing here is wrong, you might want to change that, don't buck up against that. Actually take some correction. None of us like that, but we all need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us of these things, showing us these things, sharing with us these things from the book of Acts, that we can learn from them. Lord, I do pray, I ask that you would help, that you would help us, Lord, to Lord, be humble enough to recognize that you made us the way that we are, but we need help from one another. Lord, I pray that you would take all of our personalities and use them for your honor and glory. Lord, would you help us to be like Paul, straight as an arrow, following rules, doing what is right, even making hard decisions. And yet, Lord, help us to be like Barnabas and loving and caring for others, giving others a second chance and caring for those who are the underdog. Lord, would you help us? Make us like Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Now, Lord, would you dismiss us with your blessing? Keep these, your people, safe tonight as they travel home, safe as they live the rest of their days this week, Lord, that they'd be safe from false doctrine. Lord, would you keep us from the sins of the flesh? And Lord, would you also heal those who are sick? In Jesus' name, amen.